Thank you for listening to the New Life Church podcast. If you need any information about our church, or if you'd like to give online, please visit us at newlifekingman.com.
Okay, just before we get in the class, several things that you know it's going to be a bad day when. You know it's going to be a bad day when your birthday cake collapses from the weight of the candles. You know it's going to be a bad day when your twin sister forgets it's your birthday. You know it's going to be a bad day when you wake up and they're showing escape routes out of your city on TV. You know it's going to be a bad day when you're passing a bunch of Hell's Angels on the highway and the horn on your car gets stuck. And finally, you know it's going to be a bad day when you wake up in the morning and your water bed has sprung a leak in the night, and then you remember you don't have a water bed. Okay, so tonight is the third in our series that I've called The Best of the Best. Next week, we're going to close this out with the last week of the series, but... we can learn a lot from the characters in the Bible. The first week we talked about the Roman centurion, and he prayed one of the best prayers that is around. And last week we talked about Naaman's maid. This is out of 2 Kings. And if you happen not to have been here for either of those classes, the notes are out there in the foyer, and you could pick those up. But she had one of the best attitudes in the Bible. Tonight, we're looking at really one of my favorite things. You know, I always say this, you know, because at the moment it's my favorite. But this really is one of my favorite things I could talk about because, and you'll see, I'm not going to talk about him until we get into the class a little bit, but he is one of the best examples of faith in the Bible. There are lots of good examples of faith through the Word of God, and it starts really, from the beginning. In the book of Genesis, chapter 5, verse 22, it talks us and tells us about Enoch. And it said, Enoch walked with God 300 years. He walked with God 300 years. That's a long time. Now, I walked with God for 48 years, and it seems like a long time. And those 48 years, I've experienced a lot of good things from God, but I've also, in those 48 years, I've fought off some temptations. I know that's really shocking to all you guys, but it's true. And I have weathered some real trials and some things that were extremely difficult. And so that's over a span of 48 years. I think about this guy, Enoch. Can you imagine living for God for 300 years? That's a long time. So how did he do that? Well, Hebrews 11, verse 5 tells us, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. That's awesome. And, you know, I thought of this today. The very next verse in Hebrews 11, verse 6, is the one I quote so much. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That follows right after this verse about Enoch. He pleased God. How did he please God? By faith. And because of him walking with God for 300 years, one day, I heard one guy explain it this way. He said, one day, God just was talking with Enoch and said, you know what? you just seem closer to heaven than you do to earth now. And he just took him. I like that. So Enoch, he's a good example of faith. Abraham is called the father of faith, and God promised him that he was going to have a son, right? But his faith wasn't perfect. And I like to always say this. It's one of my most quotable quotes, and it's original, I think, with me. Great faith isn't perfect faith. It's simple faith in a perfect God. And so Abraham had big faith, great faith, but it wasn't perfect, and he had some failures along the way. And one of the failures in believing for that son was his wife, Sarah, came to him and said, you know, I'm barren. Sarah was barren. And so she says, you know, why don't you take my servant woman, Hagar, and you can have a child by her. And Abraham goes, okay. And so Ishmael was born, and a lot of historically there has been trouble in the world that links all the way back to that. But in spite of his failures, he continued to believe that God wouldn't fail, and he eventually had a son, and that son was born, and the son of faith. And so truth faith tonight is when it seems hardest to believe. The Bible tells us our faith is going to be tested, doesn't it? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 says, in this you rejoice greatly, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is talking about the test of our faith. Trials, be tested. I hate tests. When I was in school, I hated tests. I would get test anxiety, and I don't like tests. But Barnes notes on the New Testament says the trying of our faith by fire is the process of showing whether it was or was not genuine. And again, personally, I really don't care for this. When I was a boy growing up in the South, I was taught manners. Then I moved out when I was 18 to go to college in Flagstaff, and have lived out a lot of my adult life in the Southwest, and I lost a lot of those manners, you know. But I was raised in a very Southern kind of home where they taught you real manners, you know, no elbows on the table, you know, chew with your mouth closed, all, you know, tons of stuff that anyway. And so one of the things I was taught when I was a kid, a lot of times didn't have a choice of what we ate. We ate what was put on the table, but we were given, you know, sometimes where we were given a choice. And so, but if I saw something on the table, I didn't go, ooh, no, you know, so you just didn't do that. And so how we were taught was we would say, you know, no, thank you, I don't care for any. That's kind of the way I feel about my faith being tested by fire. No, thank you. I don't care for any. But the reality is we are going to. Our faith is going to be tested. Someone said a faith that is not worth testing is a faith that is not worth having. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. The Bible calls faith a fight, you know, because it's a fight. There's a struggle in believing at times in our lives, right? I know that I'm not the only one here that has ever struggled with trusting or believing God. Faith is shown in our lives when it seems hardest to believe. And again, the Bible is full of examples of this. One of those is Abraham, the promised child finally came, Isaac. And Abraham was told by God and asked by God to do the unthinkable. And this was something that was Abraham, you know, in his mind, he knew this wasn't, surely this wasn't what, you know, the nature of God. But Abraham was told to offer up a son, Isaac. And so Hebrews 11, 17 through 19 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. And so Abraham's faith was so great that even though this seemed impossible to him, that God would ask him, you know, it went so far as, if you read in Genesis, to where Abraham had the knife lifted over his son. He bound him, had him lifted, had the knife lifted, getting ready to plunge it, and God stops him, right? And says, I know now that you trust me and all that. Abraham's faith was shown when it seemed hardest to believe and to trust God, but he believed that God would, even if he went through with killing his son from death. Jason, are you still there? Jason. Oh, okay. This I may want to change out battery packs. This one's cutting in and out. I don't know. We'll see. So, Abraham believed. The best faith is seen in the worst of circumstances. When facing a financial difficulty or a health issue, there are times where we feel like our prayers may not be being heard. I have been in services at times where somebody has given a testimony about God meeting need, and it may be something that I'm at that same time believing God for, you know, and waiting for. Sometimes our minds are bombarded with negative thoughts about ourselves or God, like, well, you're not going to make it, or you're just not a faith person. You know, sometimes we can look at other people, and you know, I have noticed that there are some people that almost seem like it's easy for them to believe. They're like a faith person. And so you look at yourself and say, well, that's good for them, but I don't know if I'm really a faith person. We are faith people. But it can be a struggle. Sometimes we think, well, God doesn't care about me or something like that. And so faith is tested. I was thinking about this. You know, it's easy for me to believe that God is my provider when I have money in the bank. But of course, God is my provider. And I go, there's money there. It's really easy for me to believe that the Lord is my healer when I feel great, right? Should I just change?
You might as well.
Might as well. Well, let me know when. Do I punch, turn this on?
Yep.
Is this already on?
Testing. My, I was thinking about singing a song because sometimes my mind just does weird things. I just need to keep it on the notes. Somebody. It's easy for me to believe that God is my peace if I'm not stressed or worried or anxious about anything, you know? And so true or genuine faith is revealed when it seems hardest to believe. And this is why I chose the guy that we're going to talk about tonight. And he really is one of the greatest examples of faith in the Bible. And one of the best examples. And it's the thief dying next to Jesus, one of the thieves dying next to Jesus on the cross. Look at Luke chapter 23, verse 39 through 43. It says, this really does just blow my mind, this guy. And you'll see as we go through this. Then one of the criminals who was hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. That's awesome. See, I chose this man as probably one of the greatest or best examples of faith in the Bible because he was a guy that probably was least likely to express that kind of faith. And there are several obstacles I want to look at real quickly that you and I can face in our lives. The first that he faced was his guilt. He had been a thief, hadn't he? And as he's hanging on the cross, he wasn't even making excuse for himself by his own confession. He was guilty and deserved punishment. He says, we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds. And so this guy could have easily felt, well, I'm getting what I deserve, and I really can't expect anything else from God because of what I've done. I'm guilty, getting what I deserve, and so what can I expect? One of the obstacles we can face in believing God is guilt over our past failures. And it's kind of like this. How can I expect God to hear and answer me after I've done what I've done in the past, or being the kind of person I was, how can I expect God to answer me? And so, we need to believe God's goodness over our past badness. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18 says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And Romans 8, verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You and I are really blessed. We are blessed. We're blessed that we have the Word of God that tells us and gives us God's promises. We know from the Word of God that we are promised His forgiveness, aren't we? And we know from His Word giving us like in Isaiah, come now, let us reason together. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. God and Jesus Christ, when He came, gave us an invitation. He tells us to come to Him. And we are to come to Him for forgiveness, for restoration, for the meeting of our needs. But this man that is hanging next to Jesus didn't have a Bible. And yet he believed, and this is what it really does. It surprises me about him, is that in the midst of his life, he believes in the promise of God. His faith saw beyond his failure to the one dying for his sins right next to him. Isn't that awesome? I know that there are believers who have been saved for decades, and yet they can still wrestle over the failures of their past. And we need to learn to let that stuff go, because Jesus, when he died on the cross, shed his blood, we receive him into our lives, we are forgiven. And I want you to say this with me tonight. Jesus paid for my forgiveness with his own blood. And so the thief could have just thought, well, I'm guilty, and so this is it. And that was it. But his faith reached beyond. The second obstacle he faced was his own pain. This guy is dying one of the most awful, painful deaths that is imaginable to mankind. He's dying on a cross, and yet he looks beyond that personal pain to Jesus. And so one of the greatest hindrances that we can have in believing is when we're in pain, whether it's physical or emotional pain. It can hinder us. I encourage people, if you're going through a physical battle, sickness or an issue in your physical body, and your physical body is being assaulted, I always encourage people, don't try to take your spiritual temperature during that time, because you're not going to get the right answer. We won't be able to judge our own spirituality when there's a physical assault against our bodies. We just need to trust God during that time. Don't try to do so. We can get so focused on our pain or the worry that we have or the anxiety that we're experiencing that we forget or neglect to ask for God's help. I don't know how many times in the past, in my life in the past, I have spent hours and sometimes even days worrying about something and then realizing I'm not meant to carry this. And so then just say, Jesus, I thank you that I'm not meant to carry this. I trust you for your release and your hand in my life. Yes? What I mean is if we're experiencing a physical sickness or something, if we try to read our own spirituality during that time, a lot of times we're just going to feel like, well, I'm just not spiritual at all. And so I encourage you just in those times just to trust in the forgiveness of God and don't try. In other words, our emotions, our feelings can be so off that we're not sensing what's really available to us. Does that kind of make sense? Good. Okay, so 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And so when we are experiencing pain, whether it's physical or emotional, we're going through things, we need to just come under the mighty hand of God, humble ourselves. God, I need your help now. Cast that onto him. Why? Because he cares for us. So the thief saw beyond his own pain and looked to Jesus. But this last part that I'm going to talk about is the real thing that I wanted to focus on this guy, and it was who he was believing in, who his faith was in. Jesus is dying on a cross next to him. Now you got to picture this. People are mocking Jesus. They're saying, come down, if you really are the Son of God, come down from the cross. He saved others. He can't save himself. So they're ridiculing. They're mocking him. And Jesus on the cross is at the weakest moment in his life. He's not working. No miracles are happening now. Blind eyes are not opening up. Deaf ears are not hearing now. Demons are not coming out. And people aren't getting delivered from demons. In fact, all the demons in hell, Satan himself, they're rejoicing because they think they've won. So when Jesus is dying on the cross, he's an object of weakness and ridicule, and this thief believes in him. Now, you and I, see, we know the end of the story. We've got a Bible that's complete. We have an advantage over this guy because we know the end of the story, right? We know, 3 days later, Jesus raises from the dead. But this guy is looking at Jesus at the weakest moment of his life and believes. In fact, he really may have been the only person around to believe that when Jesus died, it wasn't the end of the story. From what the Bible says about everybody's reaction, they thought it was game over. Jesus had said, told his disciples, you're all going to forsake me and flee. And so their reaction, but this guy believes. And his faith was expressed in the words that he spoke. Luke chapter 23, verse 42. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. This has to be one of the most powerful expressions of faith in all the Bible. Because he's saying these words to a dying and rejected man. The thief believed that even though Jesus is dying, he was Lord and he was coming into his kingdom. His faith is shown in what he said. And our words reveal what we believe. I am being more careful about what I say. And what I mean by that is, it's amazing to me the amount of negative or non-faith thoughts that come into my mind. I've told you, I've been walking with God for 48 years, and still I can have these negative, unbelieving thoughts that come to mind. And I was going to give you some examples of it, but then it would disprove what I just said about being more careful about what I was saying. So I thought, you know, don't do that. talking, unbelief, and negativity can come so easily to us. You know, we just spout things off that are not true to God, not true to God's word, not true about us in God. And so what can be a real challenge is us speaking faith and God's promises in the midst of our difficulties. And I don't claim to be perfect at it, but I will tell you this. It can become more of a habit. And I catch myself now, oftentimes before I speak, just pull them and it's not even just not saying the negative, it's really speaking the word into that issue. And so it's not just shutting up. Sometimes we do need to shut up. I've told myself, shut up. Sometimes I tell the devil. Sometimes I'm not even sure if I'm telling the devil or myself or both. But some, I think it's both. Shut up. Thoughts in your mind. And shut up. So it's not just shutting up. It's speaking what's true and what's right about God, about what His Word says about us, and speaking good things in the midst of the bad. Make sense? Luke chapter 6, verse 45 says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." Now somebody say, "Help me, Jesus." And He does. He will. Romans chapter 10, verse 8 through 10 says, "But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart." That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So our faith is revealed by what we say. The word of faith is or should be in our mouth. And so, like I said, it's not just about not saying the negative. And we, God help us to forego or to hold back from speaking the negativity and the unbelief and negative thoughts about God, about ourselves, and all that. But it's not just about not saying the bad or the wrong, but it's saying right things, what God's Word says about us. And I hope I left them in your notes. I just listed a few. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. When your mind is bombarded with unclean or bad thoughts or something like that, or your who you are is being challenged, and all, we need to let ourselves know and the devil know, you know what? I am the righteousness of God in Christ. My God, when you are having an issue, financial issue, my God shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. I am more than a conqueror through Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And see, sometimes when we say the, it's not that we feel it, you know, we just feel it. And so faith isn't always a feeling. And we know that we can't live by those just feelings. And sometimes when you're speaking this word, your emotions, your feelings may almost seem like, how can I even say this? I don't, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Yes, we are. I'm more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah, whatever He calls us to do, whatever is before us that He leads us into, we can do because of Him who lives in us. And so you may not feel it, but we can speak it in faith because it's what His Word says, right? The following gives us insight into why Abraham is called the father of faith, and it's Romans chapter 4, verse 16 through 20. It says, "Therefore it is faith of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of Him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things that do not exist as though they did." I like that, don't you? Contrary to hope, in hope believed. In other words, didn't seem to be anything to be hopeful about, but he dared to believe in hope. so that he became the father of many nations according to what is spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since it was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. So verse 20 links Abraham's faith with his talk or with what he says. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Now, we don't know exactly what he said, except that he was giving God the glory, and it strengthened his faith. As he gave glory to God, it strengthened his faith. And so we don't know how. We are not given exactly the words that he said, but it might have been something like this. Father or God, I praise you that even though Sarah and I are more than half dead, we're going to have a baby. I don't know if it was like that, but anyway, whatever it was, he was giving God glory in the midst of his life, in the midst of the impossible, where it seemed hopeless. He believed in hope, and that expressed itself in what he said to God, daring to believe. So here it is. A dying man next to a dying Jesus made one of the most awesome statements of faith recorded in the Bible. He said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. In other words, you may be dying now, but this isn't the end of your story. You're about to come into your kingdom, and I want to be there with you. Now, that just gives me a rush. That's incredible. See, because we read through the Bible, we see these things, we can read over it without really considering incredible nature of some of these statements that are made, like this. That is an outrageous statement of faith. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And his faith was rewarded, wasn't it? Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. This is an incredible ending to this man's life. He was at the lowest, most desperate, humiliating moment of his life, and he reached out by faith to Jesus and became the first man to receive forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's awesome. So my encouragement to us tonight, and if you're viewing online or listening, even when we feel weak, even when we are at our most vulnerable, if we will dare to put our trust and speak into the midst of those difficulties, the promise of God, God's word, our faith will be rewarded time and again. Mark chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Now, I want you to tell yourself, I'm a believer. See, sometimes the simple statements that we make like that can be just an awesome thing. I'm a believer. I'm not an unbeliever. I'm not a doubter. I'm not an unbeliever. I'm a believer. Now, in our mind, we may have things going on, but just because they're in our mind doesn't mean we have to speak them out with our mouth. We stop the negative, the unbelief, and we speak God's word in the circumstances. We need sometimes to tell ourselves who we are. And one of those things is, I'm a believer. We may not at times feel like we have much faith. There was a guy I was with on a crusade on a team in the Philippines years ago. I was reaching back 30 or more years ago. in the General Santos in the southern Mindanao Islands in the Philippines. We were part of a crusade. This guy stood up, Joe Campbell, and preached a message, prayed a mass prayer over people, and a woman that was blind got healed, and she was able to see. And we were riding back to our little dumpy place we were staying at afterwards, and we were just, wow, you know, somebody that was blind got healed. It's an awesome miracle. You know what he said? He said, I didn't feel a thing. In other words, he's preaching and he's praying for the sick, but it's not like he's just, you know, sometimes we feel it. And thank God we sense the Holy Spirit. We sense that moving and it's generating and we sense him. But there are other times where it may not be an emotional thing. We may not feel it. And that night, his feeling didn't interfere with God moving and healing a blind woman. Aren't you glad? And so what I'm saying by that is we need to go ahead and speak that faith that we know is true about God in the midst of things, even though we may not feel it, and we will see God intervene in our lives time and time and time again. Because you know what? He is faithful. Amen. Okay, so best example of faith in the Bible, one of the best, has to be this guy dying on the cross next to Jesus. First man to receive forgiveness by the blood of Jesus. That's awesome, isn't it? Praise God. All right, let's bow our heads and we'll pray. And then I'll want to pray over us. Just if you'll repeat this out with me. Jesus, I look to you. My faith is in you and not in my circumstances. I am strengthened in faith, giving glory to you. I praise you, Jesus. Nothing is impossible with you. And I thank you for that. In your name, the name of Jesus. Amen. And now, Lord, as we are about to leave from this place tonight, I pray that every person here and those that are listening online would experience the grace of God in their lives to touch it where healing is needed. Lord, we just declare that you are the Lord, our healer. Where there may be financial need, God, for an intervention financially. I pray that you would seal your word into our hearts, God, where forgiveness, we are the reality of your forgiveness to us. And those that may be experiencing condemnation, we call that down in Jesus' name. Cast it down in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for who you are to us, Jesus. Thank you that we know that you rose again from the dead. Thank you. We know that your life is in us. And Lord, we recognize that. We praise you for it. And we declare with our own lips, we are believers. I want you to say it one more time tonight. I'm a believer. Thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. God bless you. We'll close the series out next Wednesday night. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Thank you for listening to the New Life Kingman podcast. We can't wait to see you next week.